Welcome, welcome, everyone. Radio. Welcome, friends and family, to Straight Talk with Ted Santos and Blair Nash. We are the talk show. We talk about relationships. We talk about all the things that no one wants to talk about. So we have provocative and counterintuitive conversations. It is the show made for men by men. And ladies, you wouldn't want to miss it. I never fly this journey alone. I always have my co-pilot, Blair Nash. Let him know you're in the house. Looks like we're starting all over, Blair.
Yeah, that's technical difficulties, but it is what it is. So hope everyone is doing well, as I said. Hope everyone has had a great week. You were asking me about how the Carolinas were, and I was telling you that it's a beautiful state. I have nothing but positive to say about the state of North Carolina. The one thing that is a drawback, it's so damn hot there, man. It is so hot. It is so unbelievably hot.
No humidity.
It's just so hot, man.
Right?
What's that?
No humidity, though, right?
Oh, no, they definitely got humidity all. They got humidity all
no
day
kidding,
long.
No kidding, really?
That's the challenging part about it. Yeah, they definitely got humidity. I remember when I was rolling back, it was maybe 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm, you know, going outside and putting bags in the trunk so we can, we can get going. And, I mean, it had to be already like mid-80s, close to 90. This was like 10 in the morning. So, it's a different kind of heat than it is here in Ohio. It is it's on a whole nother level. So, as beautiful as the city is, I was like, you've got to get adjusted to that heat. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So, it was just hot. That's all I can say. I had a beautiful time. You know, I've been to North Carolina a number of times now, whether it be to the Rockingham area. I've been to, Raleigh. Back when I used to do recruiting, I used to go to Raleigh all the time. I had a couple clients who would fly me out. And if for any of you who have not been to Raleigh or even Hilton Head, you are missing out on life. I don't know what you're doing. It is one of the most – it's kind of almost like Savannah in just kind of how lush and just everything is just so beautiful and green and, gorgeous trees and just – you don't even realize places like that exist on this planet. So
right.
It is a wonderful, wonderful area. Yeah, get to Hilton Head, get to Raleigh if you can. For those who live there, I've always been, I've always gotten love and been blessed and everything. So, beautiful area. Like I said, that heat, though. Ooh. You know, I don't know. I know their murder rate must be off the charts. It's on a whole other level, man.
I'm cruising when it's 100 degrees.
I can't do anything more hotter than like 85. 85 is like my max. Once
no
it's 85,
kidding, really.
My whole disposition just changes. So, and like you said, it's actually dependent upon the humidity because I was in Vegas a couple of years ago and I was there around the end of July. It was for this kind of this black travel group that I was with and everything, but I was there, and it was like 101, and I was like, it don't feel that bad out here. It feels like it's warm, but it don't feel like, oh, my God. I mean, so if you're going somewhere where it's not, like you said, the humidity is not as bad, then it's, it's livable, but, I can't do it.
San Diego has low humidity. It's warm in the sun, and then you go into the shade, it's cool.
Really?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Cool. I have a friend that actually.
And it's about.
She's on.
I don't think it ever hits 100 in San Diego, and it never gets like freezing. So it is. It's San Diego's. A lot of people love it for the weather. It's moderate.
That's one of the benefits of living there because I have a friend that lives there, and she's from Ohio. And she's like, man, they are kicking me in the chest with this rent every month. So the cost of living and everything else, you might have great weather and all the other amenities, but, paying, I know she said she has a one bedroom and she's paying like $1,875. And I almost choked. I was like, $1,875 for a one bedroom? Good night.
Wow.
So, yeah, Yeah, I mean, you know, any other place in the U.S., I mean, this, I mean, you're talking about half that. So, yeah, that's ridiculous. Mm. But, yeah, so, yeah, I mean, had a good time in North Carolina. You know, I'm back now, ready to rock and roll. You know, doing, you know, got a couple projects I'm working on and stuff. So, that's it.
Cool, man. So, so we're going to talk about something that some people might see as counterintuitive. Some might call it controversial. Some people might even have a problem with some of the things we're going to say today. And we're going to talk about this word that everyone's taught to depend on. That word is trust. And, you know, it's interesting. I've spoken before about how a guy named, well, there was a time where people said, hey, the Earth is the center of the universe and all the planets go around the Earth, including the sun. And some guy named Copernicus questioned that and came back and said, hey, that's an inaccurate statement. The planets don't go around the Earth. They go around the sun, including the Earth goes around the sun. And the Catholic Church, you know, they called him a heretic, and they executed him for saying that.
Okay.
So it's crazy how everyone believed that. Even the most brilliant astronomers and scientists all believe that the Earth went around, all the planets went around Earth, which means when we don't question things, we just go with conventional knowledge because we say, well, the experts must know better. And that's not always the case. You know, I don't know if most people know, if you look at these old cars made early 1900s, the top end for cars was 40 miles an hour. Do you know why the top end was 40 miles an hour?
My guess is that, was that something you want me to answer?
Yeah, I'm asking you. Do you know, you have any idea why?
My guess, I mean, and I guess how the logical response would be technology hadn't quite caught up with it yet. It wasn't, you know, as if you look back like even 15 years ago, you know, the advancements that we have and things that we have and all the amenities and stuff we have on cars now, we didn't have. So I just think every kind of generation has something that's, you know, now we got mirrors that fold in, you know, when you stop your car and you turn your car off. We didn't have that 10, 15 years ago. So every generation kind of has, you know, we just expound on it. So I would just think that they didn't really have the technology really, you know, they're like, you know, the car can't go for more than 40 miles an hour and the engine will blow up. So that's my guess.
Well, they did think something would blow up. Even trains topped out at 40 miles an hour back then.
Right.
And a train had a huge engine, 40 miles an hour. They didn't think about the engine blowing up. They actually thought the human body could not travel at speeds greater than 40 miles an hour or the human body would blow up.
Oh, wow. They really thought that. Wow. That's crazy.
They thought that. There's a 1907 Rolls Royce. It has like a 7-foot long hood because the engine is big. And I think they only made about 8 or 10, like 7. It's only a few. And that sucker only tops out at 40 miles an hour. It's got a huge engine in it. And it goes 40 miles an hour.
I was going to say, I bet you all the money in the world Jay Leno owned one of them. I bet you he did.
So what I'm saying is you would say some idiot one day says, let's see if I push the envelope and get the car to go to 45. Do we survive? All right, let's do 50. But it's always some idiot who questions it and takes a risk, and he looks stupid to everyone, just like the guy Copernicus looks so stupid they executed him because he questioned whether or not all the planets went around Earth. So he did his own calculations and found out something accurate. And so, you know, if we still believe that all the planets went around the Earth, we couldn't tell accurate time, we couldn't have a calendar, we couldn't land on, well, we could probably land on the moon, but there are a lot of things that we wouldn't do properly. And if we still believe that the human body would explode if it went over 40 miles an hour, we couldn't have airplanes that carry, you know, hundreds of people at a time, not doing 40 miles an hour as a top end. So we're going to – I'm saying all that to say we're going to talk about how people have been taught to trust yourself, to trust – you have to have a relationship that's built on trust. If you don't have trust, you don't have a relationship. And I know some people are going to think it's a matter of semantics, and it's not. You know, I'm going to have to give another example because people try to cough everything up to semantics and explain it away. But if you get a martial arts master and the martial arts master is sitting next to you and you know nothing about martial arts, so you just know the basics that you're watching a tournament with people fighting in martial arts. But the martial arts master will know when someone is doing an art form called Kung Fu, one called Bondo. He'll say, oh, that guy switched to Aikido. Now that guy's doing Jeet Kune Do. And he can, it's not semantics. It's not just fighting in martial arts. He has distinctions. And not only does he know the art forms, he knows how to dismantle it or what their strengths and weaknesses are. So, you know, when we say semantics, it's like we don't have distinctions. We can't distinguish one thing from another. So I'm saying that for those who are going to come up with it's just a matter of semantics. But you really have to have some mastery in language or whatever art form you're looking at. So I'm saying trust. So most people, maybe all people, have heard from family, friends, teachers, the media, love stories, novels. We've all heard that you have to build a relationship on trust. You've got to have that as a foundation. And I'm asserting that that's not what it takes, because I'll give an example of how we don't use trust to do one of our first great accomplishments. And that's when the child, an infant, is.
Hey, Ted, real quick, and I want you to go to your example. Let me just give a shout out to the number. We have about three callers on hold. The call-in number is 323-642-1387. Again, 323-642-1387. We're going to get to your calls in just a moment. So go right ahead. Sorry.
So when you learn to walk, if you had to depend on trusting yourself, most people would never walk.
Right.
You know, an infant gets up and they fall again and again and again. In fact, they have proof that they can't be trusted to walk. So if we had, if infants had the intellectual capacity of doubt like most, like adults do, they would just say, hey, I fell 10, 20 times, that's it, I'm not cut out for walking, get me my wheelchair and I'll push myself around. So we're taught how we have to trust ourselves, and I'm saying that what's innate in us as humans is we don't depend on trust right from the beginning. Like, we just step into things and make it happen. So so then that leaves a question. Is there something that's more powerful than trust? So I'm going to say, in a love relationship, kill trust. Kill it.
Okay. All right, cool. You want to try and grab a call real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to hear what people think about you. If you kill trust in your relationship, you'll have a much more powerful relationship than one that's built on trust.
Okay. All right, cool. Let's go to our first caller, area code 347. 347, you're live and on the air. Area code 347. All right. 347 is probably just going to listen. We're going to go to area code 415. 415, you're live on the air.
Hi, Ted, Blair. It's good to hear from you this Sunday. It's good to be on the show.
Hi.
And
who's calling?
Yeah,
calling? Where are you calling from?
This is Janelle from San Francisco. And you know, I gave it some thought, you know, what you all were saying just now, and agree that if one waits for trust to be 100%, then yeah, the relationship may not happen because trust is always being tested. But rather, if you focus on, you know, whether someone will commit to an act or a mutual agreement, then yeah, it's more palpable and the person's more accountable. Rather than just like the idea of trust versus coming through on a specific, you know, agreement or, you know, where they're pulling their weight on something they agreed to do or not do.
Okay. All right. So you, are you saying you understand the idea of, now I'm not saying don't wait for trust or wait for it or don't wait for it. I'm saying kill trust. Just, it's gone. It's not even part of the relationship. Kill it.
Well, as kill it as a requirement for having a relationship. I mean, I think the feeling of whether you trust someone or not will right. So I mean, feelings. So, you know, I was, I took this psychology class in college, and that was long ago, but I remember one idea that stuck with me that that focused on, or wasn't a focus, but it was just an idea that a lot of times you don't remember exactly your interaction with a person. You just remember the feeling you had with them or the feeling okay. they excite in you for one reason or another. And so I think the feeling of, you can call it trust or safety, security or reliability, but if you feel like the person is someone who will honor their word or their commitments, then...
Okay.
Yeah, right. And so in that way, I think it's a semantics, but I think the topic we're discussing is not semantics. I agree that if a person is reliable, then it is more quantifiable. And you can say, you know, you are a reliable person because, and therefore, you know, I feel good moving forward. Or you're not reliable, and therefore I'm not sure that we're ready to move forward because I just can't count on you.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Let's take another caller. Janelle, wait right there. Let's see if someone else has
okay.
a different perspective.
All right, we're going to go to area code 614. 614, you're live and on the air.
Well, they're shy of in Ohio, huh?
Yeah, man. You know, it is what it is. 614. All right. Somebody. All right. We're going to keep moving. All right. So, very good comments, ma'am. Ted, I'm gonna kick it over to you. What are your thoughts, sir?
Sure. So, Janelle is she did nailed something. So. I'm saying, this is what I'm saying. I'm saying that trust never travels alone. Every time, well, so there's a couple of things. One is when you say that I have to trust the person or I want to prove that you can trust me, you're actually depending on trust to be like one of the fibers that hold your relationship together. So you're depending on something outside of yourself to create and be the foundation for your relationship. And I'm asserting that's a problem. Once you depend on something outside of you, especially when you understand that trust never, ever travels alone. Trust always has a companion that's right there around the corner waiting to support trust. And
right.
people never think about that. So when you know that you're building a relationship that is depending on trust, you have to also acknowledge trust, faithful companion, like the old American Express commercials, they never leave home without one another. So trust companion is mistrust. So as soon as there's a little crack in a relationship, as soon as something's questionable, mistrust comes in. So here you are depending on trust. Your relationship is going fine. And even if nothing goes wrong, mistrust just wants to come in and make a contribution to your relationship and create doubt. And that now you'll have mistrust. So before you had mistrust serving as a foundation and a driving force. In other words, trust was running your relationship. And mistrust wants its opportunity to contribute to your relationship, and it steps in. And it's, sometimes it's hard to get trust to come back once mistrust comes in. So you've depended on two elements to build your relationship, and you think you're only getting one, but mistrust is always there. So if you kill trust, mistrust dies with it. And people say, well, what do I have? And that's what Janelle was saying. So if trust is dead and you cannot depend on trust, you don't have to worry about mistrust. Only thing you have is your word. It's your word.
Right.
Do you honor your word as yourself? Do you keep your word? Do you, if you say you're going to do something, do you do it? Do you do it when you said you would do it? If you said you will not do something or you will no longer do something, that's your word. And now I know you as your word. I mean, but go ahead.
No, no, I'm sorry. I was going to say something. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that would require a rather sophisticated level of communication for two people to sit down and discuss that. And I'll shut up from there. Go ahead.
Oh, no, you're good. You're good. You know, as I was, you know, once when we came up with the idea, well, I should say when you came up with the idea for the show, I was trying to kind of, you know, kind of understand. I mean, I always get where you're going, and I'm like, okay. So let me give you kind of my take on it. So, of course, for those who don't know, I'm an author and I'm also a life coach. So I talk to a lot of people, hear a lot of different stories from folks about, you know, a lot of the challenges, struggles that they're going through, et cetera. And one of the things that I talk to when I speak with people, I hear a lot, and I mean an awful lot, about individuals who are distrusting of relationships, distrusting of the process. You know, they're like, I can think of one young lady, I'm not getting married, I'm not going to allow a guy to really, you know, whatever. And I said, it's not them you don't trust, it's you. It's you and your judgment that you may not trust. Now, people are going to be who they are. Men are going to lie. Men have been lying since the beginning of time. It's not going to really change. You have to ask the adequate questions and make sure that you're not leaving yourself, you know, out there as a lame duck to be taken advantage of. But, you know, you hear a lot of people all the time. I mean, you see it on social media. You hear people say it. I don't trust nobody. Why? You know, there are more decent, good people in this world than there are crooks and liars. So why don't you trust anyone? And, I mean, to your point, Ted, you know, the trust begins with you. It's not, you know, I'm waiting for this person to do X, Y, Z, and then I will, you know, then they can kind of, you know, go one way or another. You know, your trust is inherent. And like you said, it's kind of something that follows you around and goes with you, in that it is something that you have to work on, you know, initially. I can tell you, in my dating experiences, I've met women, and, you know, they're like, I got to have a man. I'm like, I'm not here to, you know, I'm no show monkey. I'm not about to sit here and allow you to sit back and tell me, you know, you don't, you know, I do the smallest little thing, and now all of a sudden you clam up and don't talk, you know, don't trust me again for years. That's not what this is about. So you are absolutely right. You know, there is something that has to start inward, and, you know, it has to be, you know, in you first before you can even think that you can go and deal with a person in a business relationship or in an intimate personal relationship. The trust has to be with you at first.
Right. So, Blair, I'm saying something very distinct. So I'm saying there's There's no way you can trust or mistrust yourself. If you kill trust, it's not even part of your vocabulary anymore. It's dead.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not talking about trusting yourself. I'm talking about honoring your word. And if you don't keep your word with yourself, then when will you keep your word, right? So, I mean, so it's really not about do I trust myself. So do I keep my word? If I say I'm going to do something, do I do it? You know, people talk about procrastinating. If I say I'm no longer, like if I say I'm no longer going to smoke, do I keep my word? It's the same as when I said when an infant learns to walk, the infant doesn't need to trust themselves. The infant doesn't even have language. They don't know anything about trust and mistrust. They just declare, I'm going to do this. I'm going to, whether they see other adults walking or they want to get from point A to point B. So I'm probably a good example. My parents told me I wasn't good at crawling. My parents said when I wanted to get something as an infant, I actually did a lot of, my way of crawling was to go in reverse. I wasn't good at crawling forward. So when I wanted to get to something, I would go backwards, and my parents said I would be very frustrated and cry. So I learned to walk really early. Like I was like 8 or 9 months when I learned to walk. And it was, I can't tell you what I was thinking, but, you know, as an infant, if you're frustrated because you're going backwards, at some point you got to get your butt up and take some steps going forward so you can get to what you want. It wasn't whether I trusted myself or not. And I'm saying infants don't rely on trust because they don't even know what that word means. They just have this commitment, sort of what Janelle was saying. There's this commitment to produce certain outcomes. So if you are saying, well, I don't trust people, and I definitely get what you're saying. It's like, well, you don't trust yourself. But if you're a person who doesn't keep their word, if you don't fully commit and then play victim, even though you were not committed, it's your word. If you're not holding yourself accountable, you know you shouldn't have that extra donut, and you eat it anyway. When you look at people as whether or not they honor their word, you can weed people out early on in the whole getting to know you part. Because it's not whether I trust you or not. Do you do what you say you're going to do? Like people who have that kind of integrity, like high integrity, and they do what they say. It doesn't matter whether it's business, personal, their children, their pets. They just keep their word no matter what.
Right.
And that's a different way to exist in the world, where you have to actually be accountable for your own word. So, you know, I was speaking to a guy about this killing trust in the gym, and he's like, how the hell, then what's my relationship built on? You know, how do I gauge what I can count on? So Janelle is saying, you know, if you can count on a person, and you really just have to keep your word. It's not about being perfect. You know how to keep your word. People do.
Right.
And when someone really wants something, they keep their word no matter what.
Right. I agree. Phone number is 323-642-1387, 323-642-1387. We're going to go to area code 347. 347, you're live and on the air. All right. Okay, so yeah.
Janelle, are we saying the same thing, Janelle?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Okay.
I don't like to use the word transaction, like social transaction, when you're dealing with friends or an intimate relationship, but you can take it one step at a time and, you know, use the steps as building blocks for a solid foundation. And if steps get missed, then things are vulnerable to fall apart, or a feeling of, hey, I'm not sure if this person can provide stability for me, which is generally one of those other buzzwords, particularly for women, that's important in a relationship. So we know that it's cliche to say trust is important. Stability is another buzzword, but for stability and what women seem to want, and according to general surveys of Cosmopolitan magazine and other pop culture, and maybe even academic culture, but just to stick to the topic, that if, that if each time people get together and someone elicits through their behavior or just lack of commitment or unreliability, this feeling of like, hey, I better double down because this person isn't reliable, so I better double down and have a plan A and plan B just in case they don't show up and I'm not stranded. And so these are real situations, not just feelings. And then the feeling of maybe danger or something that someone elicits because they're not reliable just makes someone feel maybe unsafe. And so then whether it's trust or but we're killing that word, but, whether it's safe to move forward, becomes an issue. And it's really based on one step at a time or one commitment at a time, the direction a relationship is going.
So you said you didn't want to say transaction, but it's almost like your commitment and your level of integrity becomes the exchange for the relationship. And I never thought about it this way, but it's almost like your integrity becomes an exchange rate. If you don't keep your word, then you're the currency that matches up to the dollar gets devalued because they have political crisis in the country. So if you're a person who doesn't keep your word and you're always in some sort of crisis, like your integrity can be devalued because you don't keep your word. So the social currency, and that could be for friendship, love, business. How do you get anything done with a person who doesn't keep their word? And it's especially if you're looking to take this down the path of courtship and then marriage. How do you build a family with someone who doesn't keep their word? And they manage money poorly because they said they would pay a bill and they didn't. I mean, you hear these stories where, the guy says, honey, I'll pay all the bills, and only find out he was at the racetrack and lost it. And now the lights are being shut off.
Right.
That's a beautiful analogy. I mean, it's like a credit rating for whether, the probability that you'll be a good partner.
Right.
I think and I to kind of add to that, I see that often where individuals and I don't want to say lie because that's kind of a strong word, but I will say they mislead or omit details about their marriage, about their station, their situation with their ex, about scenarios with money or what have you. And they'll say, well, I know a particular woman. She brought, purchased a trip, and told her husband it was one price. It was actually cost like three times what she had told him. And
oh wow,
And so she told him it was like, oh, it was only like I got on a sweetheart of a deal. It was only like $600 and something, and actually the trip was close to about $2,000. Of course he would flip out if he found out that she, they don't have it like that. But, that's the kind of things I think, like you said, that erode trust and make people look at you like this person has a different agenda. We're not on the same page and they're keeping things from me. So you're absolutely right. I mean, I know men who do that, where they have, you know, little friends on the side, and, you know, they don't tell their wives or whatever. And like you said, those are the things that beat down trust, that make you like, I can't even trust this person's word anymore. So
yeah.
Trust is trust.
Forget trust, Blair. Here's what I'm saying. A man and woman sit down, and we're going to have a conversation about killing trust. And here's the deal.
Okay.
When you tell me you're going to do something, I'm not even going to think about it again. You told me you'll do it. You're going to be there. You're gonna pay this bill, whatever it is. I don't even have to think about it. This is the way I'm going to relate to you. I'm not going to worry about whether I trust you or not. You said you will do it, and you will do it. And if I say I'm going to do it, so I'm no longer thinking about whether I can trust the person. It trust is irrelevant. When you honor your word, it's you who makes it work, not trust.
Okay.
See, we keep saying, I can trust, like trust is this outside force as opposed to your word being the very fiber that holds the relationship together.
Okay.
So, I have the money. Honey, I'm going to go pay the bills. I go pay the bills. It's paid. She didn't even think about it again. And one of her friends says, hey, you know, your husband's kind of smooth. Can you really trust him? It's like, I don't even worry about trusting him or not. If he says he'll do it, it's done. I don't have to think about that. Now, so, and I'll add something. If, let's say, you're meeting someone at 5 o'clock, and you get caught up in traffic. Now, we have cell phones. You can call and say, it looks like I'm going to be late. I'll be 10, 20. Hell, I'm going to be an hour late. I'm stuck. You know, here in New York, we have these tunnels and bridges that take you into Manhattan. And sometimes if there's an accident, you're sitting in the tunnel like it's a parking lot, and it's just not moving, and you can be there for a little while. So you just communicate with the person, hey, I'm backed up. I'm in traffic. I can't make it. If you are at work and say, hey, I'm going to do this report. Your boss says, I need this report by Monday at 10 a.m. And that's a request. And you can just say, sure, boss, I'll get it to you Monday at 10. And you know you're not going to get it to him at 10. It's Friday at 4, and he's just giving it to you. And you know no way. But you say yes. And now you figure out all the excuses like you're going to make. It's like being a player. You figure out how you're going to play the boss and tell him excuses. Instead of saying, sure, I'll do it, be your word and say, there's no way I can get it to you Monday at 10. What I can do is get it to you Monday by 6 o'clock. That I can keep my word. So you just kind of negotiate it. And maybe he says, well, 6 o'clock is too late. I need it by 2 o'clock. And you work that out. So that's not just for business. That's just in your relationship. People are – so what's – I'm going to now connect something else, which is people believe they have to compromise in their relationships. And that's how you often end up getting resentment. You know, I compromise to you all the time. I'm always compromising. But if you learn how to negotiate, if you learn how to – understand what the other person needs, and that's going to require you to really find out what they need, and then keep your word as to whether you can give them what they want. You know, we were just in our Facebook page. Someone was talking about this guy. He and I had a back and forth about how a guy should be able to ask for what he wants. And I, from what I've seen, most women don't ask a man. She doesn't ask, are you getting what you need from me? Are you fulfilled in your relationship with me? Are there things that I can give you? You know, they don't have this kind of conversation, even though those conversations can increase intimacy. The expectation often is, as a woman is, you know, if you're with me, that means you're happy. And if I make you climax during sex, then that means you're fulfilled. But there's no real checking. You know, people people grow out of things. People are not, maybe not as interested. They're doing it just for you. There's lots of reasons why people will accept things, in some cases tolerate certain things. People don't check in with one another, and then they just feel like they're just compromising, and the relationship becomes one compromise after another, and the person becomes resentful. But if you really check in and make sure what the person wants, you might say, hey, I can't give you exactly that, but if you make help me understand why you like that, maybe I can give you something else that will be a replacement. I don't feel like I compromised myself. But now you're negotiating. And people think negotiation is just for business. It's really, it's with your children, it's with your parents, it's with your lover. And then whatever you negotiate, honor your word and keep it. Keep the terms that you negotiated.
Okay.
It's always going to come back, you know. When you build your relationship on keeping your word, when you learn to negotiate and understand what the person wants, and you don't have to compromise. You have to understand what the person wants, and they understand what you want. And sometimes you may want the same thing. You were just speaking a different language and didn't realize it, and there was nothing to even compromise, nothing to even negotiate. But you keep your word, though.
Okay.
It's hard to take out the word trust. This is why I started this conversation off saying that at one time people believed your body would explode if you go faster than 40 miles an hour. They just believed that. They believed the earth was the center of the universe. Like, that's just what people had. So it's difficult. People believe keeping your word is about building trust, and it's not about building trust. It's about having high integrity and just honoring your word. Like, there's power in keeping your word. Even when people talk about the laws of attraction, there's something about being a person who honors their word. You're less likely to attract people who don't honor their word.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. Cool. Ma'am, I know I'm going to butcher your name. What was your name again? I'm so sorry. Is she there?
She's got us on mute, I assume. Janelle?
Okay. All right. Cool.
What's her name?
Janelle. Okay.
I guess. Did you say Janelle?
Yeah, are you there? Okay. I was gonna say.
I'm here.
Yeah, I was just getting your feedback on what Ted has said.
Yes, I mean, yeah, I like I feel like we're all developing the concept in a way that's, you know, I haven't necessarily expressed outright, and and then Teddy said that you had not thought about it in a way of like a social currency. But I do like, and I've said this in the past, but I didn't connect all the dots, is that I'd say something like, I would like to work this out so I don't have to trust you, and mostly it relates to money, right? So if, you know, everyone has I feel like money arouses a certain kind of paranoia sometimes in people, or behavior that's not necessarily, who they are day to day, but it's like a special circumstance. And I feel like in order to protect a relationship, I like to say, let's take trust out, but I said, let's not rely on trust to deal with money, and let's make sure we clarify, you know, our agreement here so that there's no tussle. So I do like the comparison to transactions, but when it comes to personal relationships, I just like to use other words. But I do love the fact that we're using social currency and you know, credit ratings to describe how important it is to keep the integrity of the relationship, because I feel like money is what we need at least in civilization, to survive. And so relationships, if you look at them as a survival tool, and oftentimes I look at whether my partner, friends, or intimate partner, someone who will allow me to live longer or die faster. And so obviously I do want to live as long as possible. So whether the person I'm allowing in my life is going to be an asset or, you know, a toxic asset or an appreciating
a liability or an asset.
Yeah, a liability. Thank you. A liability or an asset. No. Yeah, so, I mean, I do have a right brain, soft side, of course, in the relationship, but I love the, you know, crisp way that, you know, using transactions and currency to describe how important it is to keep your integrity rating up.
Oh. True stuff.
Yeah, well, we just generally don't think that way. We're taught that trust will save the day. Well, we've been told that trust will save the day, and no one ever said that trust has a partner, a faithful partner, and they're inseparable. And mistrust, once you depend on trust, you also have to accept the fact that mistrust will play its role at some point.
Okay, you're teaching me today. So normally I'm all like on it. So today I'm just kind of, you know, learning and listening. So
Go ahead.
No,
I was
just
going to say paradigm shift, but keep going, Blair.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say that, you know, I mean, I think what you're saying is that mistrust is kind of like trust and mistrust are cousins. And, you know, I'm understanding you correctly, and help me out if I'm wrong. You're saying that once trust is breached, now you have to deal with the mistrust and what that brings and what that does to how people see your word. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, that's definitely one way. If you breach trust, mistrust is going to step right in and say, "Don't worry, I'll run the show now." At the same time, mistrust will step in even if trust is not breached.
Okay.
People have relationships and they just start to doubt, you know, that because they've depended on trust for so long and they've seen trust breach, and or even if they haven't personally experienced it, they've heard about it. So people are concerned about mistrust, like they're always there together. Which one do you want to pick today?
Yeah. No question. Let me give the shout out to the phone number. Our calling number again is 323-642-1387. Again, 323-642-1387. We are going to go to area code 901. 901, you're live on here.
What's up, brother? This is Robert. How y'all doing?
Hey, Robert,
how you doing?
Where you calling from, Robert?
Calling from Memphis, brother. Calling from Memphis.
All right.
I'm gonna take one of the callers' comment, like they were saying about liability and assets. A lot of times when we get into relationships, just in life in general, we be looking for somebody to. It's like we want somebody to trust. We want somebody to trust. Take trust in our emotions and our feelings. But what it is, we don't trust ourselves enough to protect it ourselves. A lot of times when we get into these relationships, we are already liabilities because we allow people to come in a lot of times and build up that we will say we want to build up trust between me and you. In other words, if I'm with a woman, I trust myself enough not to allow you to come into my life and bring in distrust. because I'm going to make sure I check you, you know, on certain things. I'm not going to let things build up. Because a lot of times where mistrust comes in, once you start allowing people to kind of step in and step over certain boundaries, you know what I'm saying? They say like, okay, I can do this. You know, I can. You trust me enough with your emotions. You trust me enough with your feelings. So I'm going to do certain things with your feelings. I'm going to do certain things with your emotions. And we allow the distrust to come into our lives a lot of times because we really don't set boundaries. And a lot of times we don't reset boundaries because a lot of times the boundaries that we have when we in these relationships come from past things that somebody has done to us. And a lot of times we don't understand. We have to reset boundaries. You know, we say, well, okay, this was a boundary because this person did this. So I'm going to keep this boundary for the rest of my life because people, this one person showed me that people would do this. But not everybody would do that. So a lot of times when we talk about trust, should we always look for somebody to give us trust? No. We should always trust ourselves with somebody. Go ahead, y'all.
So, well, Go ahead, Blair. Go ahead. Please,
so let me ask you this, Robert. So and I want to make sure because
wait a second, Robert. I think you have a TV or something in the background.
Yeah, let me turn it down. I'm looking at MSNBC at the same time.
go ahead. No worries. So like I said, typically, you know, this is really kind of a learning experience for me because normally I'm very, you know, I mean, Ted and I are usually pretty much in lockstep, and we can talk for hours. But this is kind of one of those shows where I'm learning myself. So I want to make sure I'm understanding correctly. So in response to your question, I mean, not to your question, but your statement. So essentially, I was kind of almost – you talk about kind of resetting boundaries. And I would use an example of someone who's cheated. So when you're in a relationship, you know, you have – you know, like you get a long leash. It's like as long as he or she, you know, doesn't, you know, show out or whatever, you know, they can, you know, they can go hang out with their crew or do whatever. Once the person is unfaithful and it comes back to you, it's like, okay. So now, you know, if I call you, your ass better pick the phone up. I don't care what the hell you're doing, right? Because now you're like, I don't trust you anymore. And now you've got, like you said, it's kind of resetting boundaries. And you have to, you know, now it's like when the phone rings, you better answer the phone and it better be, you know. And so is that kind of what you're referring to or am I still kind of in left field or what?
Yeah, it's still there because, you know, you got to – once that person invades, it's your choice to give that person a second chance. Okay. Now, but when you give that person a second chance, you need to establish. Now, you were allowed to cross this boundary. You know what I'm saying? You know, to go out with your partners and do this and stay out and do this, that, and another. Now I'm going to reset this boundary. Now, some people will go to the extreme and stuff like that. But also what I'm saying is a lot of times what we'll do is that person that cheated, that relationship is over or whatever the case may be. Well, when you go into your next relationship with somebody, regardless of how long it is, you go into your next relationship. The first thing you turn around and saying is, well, men or women, when you go girls' night out, you go boys' night out, there's always a possibility of you cheating because of this in the past. So you automatically come – you got to always give me the opportunity – like I always tell people, give me the opportunity to make my mistake. Give me – trust me enough to let me make my mistake. But a lot of times when we get into these relationships – a lot of men and women are paying for the mistakes of somebody else a lot of times.
Okay.
And a lot of times I can show you that I'm giving you – I'm showing you can trust me. I don't mean what this person did to you. So let me reset the boundaries. But a lot of people, when they set boundaries, they say boundaries are permanently set. Well, a lot of times everybody's not the same. So a lot of times, like I told you, like I tell guys all the time with me, sometimes with a female, there are certain things that if the woman shows me that I can trust her, she can cross this boundary line because you have shown me that I can trust me with you. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So a lot of times when
okay.
we get into this trust, we have to learn how to – we have to – that's my main thing. Really, I want to get out there. We have to learn how to reset boundaries, because a lot of the boundaries that we have is preventing a lot of us from having these major connections that we really should have. Because what has happened, somebody has made us distrust. Go ahead.
Okay.
So, Rob,
can I say something?
Okay. Go ahead, Janelle. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I was going to say, that's why the idea of trust is not a reliable way to determine whether someone will give you a warm and fuzzy feeling. And in fact, it's whether they keep their word. And so, you know, we're all influenced by, you know, things that have happened in our lives. And so one way to just cut through whether we're thinking clearly is whether case by case, day by day, the person keeps their word. And then over time, you develop a feeling of whether you feel good, neutral, or not good.
Huh.
And so that, and then the idea of trust is irrelevant, because you just know based on their track record of being, of keeping their word, whether this is a good situation or a bad situation, or you need more information.
Well, a lot of times, I understand what you're saying, when you have to day by day. In other words, you let a person in a little bit at a time. You build up that ability to open yourself up to be more vulnerable. You become vulnerable to that person, because regardless of how we, if you feel something for somebody, you're going to become vulnerable. You're going to let that person in day by day. So you trust, yeah, I know what you're saying, but it's just a word that we use, but that's the only word that we can come up with, unless you can come up with something else. You know, trust.
That's the exact conversation we're having today, is that we've been taught, that's the only paradigm we've been given, and I'm inventing an entirely new paradigm to support relationships.
Okay.
Trust is the worst thing that you can depend on, because trust, once you invite trust into your relationship, that means you're depending on this thing outside of you to create a relationship. And what most people don't acknowledge is that trust never travels alone. It always travels with mistrust. It doesn't.
Okay.
Mistrust doesn't care. Mistrust doesn't care how much you love trust. Mistrust is always around the corner looking to step in. Even if there's no doubt, mistrust steps in. And once mistrust gets into your relationship, trust is out the door, and it's hard for trust to get back, right? You get what I'm saying, right?
So you're saying you're saying it in the aspect of, don't put yourself out there to be let down by someone. Is that what I'm understanding?
Nope. I'm not saying that. I'm saying
mm-hmm.
you take trust out into your backyard, and you shoot it in the head till the gun is empty and leave it there to die. And when trust dies, mistrust is going to die right with it. Because they're connected.
Okay.
They're not cousins. They're twins. They're connected at the same source. And when you kill trust, mistrust will die with it. Now, if you kill trust, Robert, what do you have left to build a relationship?
Only thing that I can think of is consistency. You have to be a person of, I mean, I guess I'm still in the same old paradigm. The only way I can believe in you is take your word for what you say you're going to. No, I can only do that.
Exactly.
You have to be consistent in what you do. You have shown me that you're going to keep doing what you're going to keep doing. You know what I'm saying? So I have to get, okay, if you keep doing what you're going to keep doing, I'm going to keep giving. If you stop doing what you said you was going to stop doing, I'm going to take it back. I mean, the only word we can replace it with is consistency.
And you have to honor your word as yourself. Like, people say my word is my bond, right? So if I said I'll do it, I'm going to do it. If I said I won't do it, I won't do it. Like, if I said, hey, I'll stop smoking, right? I'm going to stop smoking. This is not it's going to take me time to stop smoking. You said you don't like it. I will stop. Today is the last. I'm not smoking anymore. Bang. It's done. It's over with. Right? So when you start talking about, well, I have to trust you to give my emotions to you, I only gave them to you because I trust you. Well, now you have to be ready because at some point mistrust is going to come in. So it's like this. Trust is, we kill trust. This is between you and I, honey, and we are killing trust. All we have is our word. Like, our word is our integrity. And so we're not depending on trust to make the relationship work. I'm depending on myself, and you depend on yourself. You say you're going to do it, and do it when you said you would do it. And the same goes for me. If we understand, it's not up to, honey, just trust me, just let me. Look, your woman says, hey, my man Robert, when he says he's going to do something, I don't even have to think about it because that's our relationship. Right. We're not building this on some trust that's going to make us feel good. We built it on our word, which means we are both responsible for this relationship and what we say. If we said, so it's right. Your word, it's your commitment to the relationship. And that's what you have, and you generate like a machine generates, you know, an assembly line machine generates cars, right? So when you keep your word, you generate integrity and commitment, and that's now your relationship is built on that, and that's way more powerful. Now, if someone steps out and cheats, now you have to make a decision. Do I want to stay with the person who didn't, you know, we had an agreement that this was an exclusive relationship or we're married and they stepped out. Now, it's like this is a real, people say, come to Jesus conversation. This whole relationship was built on our word and you completely killed your word. I don't even know if I can even hear anything you say from now on. It's hard to move forward with someone who doesn't keep their word. And so when you build it on your word, you catch those things from the very beginning. I'm going to say something that may sound small, but if I meet a woman and I'm getting to know her and she says, hey, you know what, I should be calling you sometime. So next call is on me. I'm going to call you. And I understand, you know, there are some very attractive women who are accustomed to guys chasing them like a hound, except if you tell me you're going to call me and you don't, then you're telling me you just don't keep your word. And I'm thinking of one woman in particular, very attractive. She said she was going to call. She didn't. So I called her for something else. And she said, oh, I thought we were going to go out, and what happened? I said, well, I was waiting on you to call me. And she said, oh, that's in the past. Don't worry about the past. Let's just move forward. And sure enough, she did the same thing again. She said she would call. She didn't call. I called her for some business stuff, and she ran the same line. That's in the past. It's like you showing me right up front that your word is no good. Even though it's something as small as a phone call, but, you know, your word is your word. There's no you don't weigh it by gravity. Oh, that's a scale of 1 to 5, so I let you slide with that. People know that they don't have to keep their word with you.
Fellas, hang on the line for a second. I'm going to grab a couple more calls. Our phone number is 323-642-1387, 323-642-1387. We are going to now go to Eric.
Wait. Let Robert, can you say it quickly? Because we do want to take a call.
Okay.
Go ahead.
What I was going to say is learn how to give somebody time also when they're, because like I said, when we ask for change or we want a change in behavior, some changes can happen quick right now because you know that needs to be changed. But sometimes you got to give people time enough to change a certain behavior because they got to get adjusted to it. Let me get off real quick, y'all. Go ahead.
No, stay there, Robert. Stay there.
I was going to say, you can actually stay on the line. I just want to grab the calls that we have. So we're going to go to area code 646. 646, you're live and on the air.
Hello.
Hello. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New York.
Hey, what's your name, ma'am?
What's your name?
My name is Sarika. My name is Sarika.
Sarika?
Sarika. S-A-R-I-K-A.
Sarika.
Okay, hi.
Thank you
for
calling, Sarika.
Hi. I'm listening to this, and I'm trying to follow what you guys are saying. Can you hear me?
I do.
We are, for example.
Okay, but I want to interject here because trust is something that you have within you yourself. If you trust yourself and somebody does something to go against what you believe and what you believe as far as your trust in yourself is concerned, you talk about it. Find out if you guys are on the same page. If you find out that you're not on the same page, you move on. You let it go. I think it was Ted who said take trust and mistrust and put it in your backyard and shoot it. See, that's a little drastic, I think. I think if you really, truly trust, and I don't know, if he's like bargaining here. I mean, if you're developing a relationship and there's something that displeases you or the other person, it's called communicating. You communicate. You talk about it. Find out, you know, what it is that irks you, okay? If you can't come to a resolution or solution, then you just say, look, I don't think this is going to work out for us, and you let it go and you move on. But if you're holding a grudge towards that person, you're building up stuff on yourself. That person is gone and you're still stuck in something there. So I don't understand what trust and mistrust, you know, in a relationship where there is love and there is communication and you care about someone, you sit down and you work it out. If there's no way to work it out, shake hands and say goodbye. You heal because you love yourself, right? That's all I'm saying.
Okay. May I say something?
So,
this is Janelle.
No,
is Janelle.
Wait. Go ahead, Janelle, please.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I just want to say quickly that I think you can replace mistrust with mistress, and it doesn't belong in a committed relationship. And also that if you go transaction or case by case or one behavior at a time, you don't have to let things fester. You don't have to have this idea. It's just one thing at a time, 5 minutes at a time, 1 hour at a time. Does the person keep their word? Do they have integrity? So you don't have to have disagreements. You're just saying, hey, what is this person's track record? Do they always keep their word? Or do they sometimes keep their word? And which you know, commitment do I trust? Do I not trust? Because this is not about trust.
Which
it's about whether
honor?
A person has integrity. Yeah, honor. That's right, honor.
Yeah, you honor it. Yeah, which one do I honor? Because if someone is BSing you, you don't want to be wasting your time. And Ted, I think it was you who said, the person said they were going to call you. You should have called them on that. You know, don't wait. Don't say, I'm waiting for you. Look, you said you were going to call. You didn't call. Let's keep it business. Let's not get personal. You know, it's like, because apparently that she does not honor her word. It's about honoring.
I did say something, and she said, that's in the past. Leave the past behind. That was her response when I called her on it.
And she did it again.
So here's what I'm saying. You, as a human being, we do not innately depend on trust. Can you walk? Are you like a healthy human being who can walk on your own 2 feet?
Yeah, I can walk.
Are you a healthy human being who can walk on her own 2 feet?
Yes, I am.
Good, perfect. So when you first learned to walk, you didn't even know what the word trust was. So you didn't depend on trust to learn to walk. If anything, you had proof that you couldn't trust yourself. Because if you did like the rest of us, you fell again and again and again, or you tripped,
and you get up, but to get up. You get up and try again.
No, no. Here's what I'm saying. It wasn't trust that you needed in yourself to walk. You walked because you gave your word and you did it. So you didn't depend on trust. See, when you keep your word with yourself, that makes you very powerful. If you have to worry whether you trust yourself or not, see, once you depend on trust, then you have to acknowledge that trust never travels alone. It always has mistrust. So if you're in a relationship with someone and you say, honey, we're going to let you, and this is a rather sophisticated kind of communication, you and I are going to kill trust. All we have after we kill trust is my word and your word. And I'm not going, when you say you're going to do something, you say you're not going to do something, that's it. You honor your words yourself, and we're going to move forward like that. Now, if you feel like you can no longer keep your word, either you tell me, and I'll decide how I want to deal with this, or I'm going to see that you no longer keep your word, and I'm going to have a decision to make. But if you're a person who doesn't keep your word, if you don't keep your word to yourself, you know, that person who says, oh, I'm not going to eat an extra piece of cake anymore, except they keep doing it, their word is not good to themselves. So, of course, they're going to let other people get away with not keeping their word. What Janelle was saying, like your social currency and your love relationship, your currency is the exchange of integrity and honoring your word as yourself. It's not about whether I trust you. I'm introducing a new paradigm that's difficult because we've been told so long that we have to depend on trust. And if there's no trust, there's no relationship. I'm saying, and I'll say it as gruesomely as I said it before, if you take trust out in the backyard and shoot it and leave it to die, mistrust will die with it. The only thing you have left after that is your word and the level of integrity that you bring to the table. And it's hard for people to hear that because for so long, all they know is you have to trust the other person. I have to trust you to give my feelings to you. I have to trust myself. People don't factor in that. If you depend on trust for anything, understand that mistrust will step in and start running the show. And then you'll be left with mistrust and very difficult to get back to trust, even for yourself.
Let's get to another call real quick. We're going to go to area code 718. 718, you're live on the air.
Hi, this is Anita. How are you?
How you doing, Anita?
How about this? Okay.
Very good.
Okay. Anita, where are you calling
from? I'm from New York, and I'm listening to TED Talk about trust and not trust. But what happens when you've been a faithful person and you followed your word and then you change your mind and decide that you no longer have to stand up to your word in your relationships? You may just have a change of heart. It may be a death in the family. It may be a disappointment. It may be a life change. What I hear you saying is you have to kill trust, but what if, and it should be based on your word, but what if your circumstances change your word?
Well, so there's two questions. One is, do you allow circumstances to run your life, right? So that says something about the person. Like, you don't honor your word, you honor circumstances, and that will have you like a pinball machine, like a ball that just gets thrown around and bounced around all over the place, because there's always going to be circumstances, right? So, you know, someone could say, there were circumstances that I cheated. You know, the guy says, well, the woman was really hot. She was attracted to me, and it was a chance of a lifetime, honey, and I couldn't turn it down. It was circumstances. Please, you know, have sympathy for me. Do you really want to hear that, right? So that's one way to respond to what you said. The other way is, if you say, I no longer want to honor the word I give you, tell the person immediately. Like, don't let them find out from somewhere else or after the fact. Tell them so then they have the right to say, if you're no longer going to keep your word for X, Y, Z. Like, let's say in a relationship. So it's an exclusive relationship, and you say, I no longer want this to be exclusive. I know I gave my word. I'm taking back my word, and I don't want that anymore. Let that person know immediately so that they can say, they may negotiate and say, well, you know what? Are we going to have an open relationship? I'm okay with that. Or maybe they say, this relationship is no longer for me. But even if you want to no longer keep your word, have the integrity. See, your integrity is about you. It's never about the other person or circumstance. It's about your word. And then if you say, well, you didn't trust me. See, people can get themselves out by saying, well, I didn't feel like you trusted me, so then I did this. It's like, just keep your word.
Well, it's almost the same as you say, well, men a lie. And that's to say, you know, that statement was made today, men will lie. Well, if you lie, you don't keep your word, what integrity is there?
Well, why?
Because now you say no men keep their word, so you shouldn't trust men, or not to say just don't expect men to keep their word. I mean, some of the statements just they're very confusing to me to come up with this, and then you say, oh, men don't keep their – well, women don't keep their word either, so, you know, it's so general to come up on. Just the integrity of the person, just take your time to get to know the person and understand their integrity. And that takes a lot of time. Sometimes it only takes a minute.
Well, wait, before – let me respond to her. So – if you have a conversation that says, here's where I stand, I'm not going to depend on whether or not I trust you. First, the person is going to be confused about that, right? And then say, here's where I stand. I'm a person who integrity is important, and I'm a person who keeps my word. If I say I'll do it, I'll do it. If I say I won't, I won't, right? And I'm not going to figure out whether I can trust you. And you don't need to figure out whether you can trust me. You have my word as my bond, right? And I'd like to do the same with you. That's the way I live my life, and I want to know if I can have that kind of relationship where we don't have to worry and figure out whether we can trust or mistrust. You keep your word, period. Now, the person will tell you, well, that's a little hard, or I can't do that. Maybe they're telling you something right from the beginning.
But action speaks louder than words.
Well, here's my thing.
They may say that's difficult. They may say that's difficult, but I'm down to try it. Or someone may say, with Anita, a guy may say, hey, I can't do that. So now you've got to make a decision. How do you want to deal with someone who's telling you right up front, I can't promise you I'll keep my word?
Well, another thing, this is Janelle. Is that if someone has integrity, then they'll say something like, I would love to make all these commitments and I'd love to do all these things, but I can't. The only thing that I can be reliable for is X, Y, Z. And then maybe one person once more or less. But if you are very clear about what you can do and what you can be reliable for, then that's one easy way to gauge what kind of relationship you have every day. If someone can't give you more than what they're willing to commit to by being reliable and having integrity over, you know, coming through in a certain way, it may only be sex. It may only be, you know, emotional, you know, having phone conversations or emails. But it'll be very clear because they'll be reliable in a certain way and maybe not reliable in another way, and you have to just understand what you're getting.
This is
where you put that person.
Yeah, Janelle, that's how I look at it. I was like, I just take the people at face value as what they say, and you can give them a scale of 1 to 10. Either they don't do what they say is a 1, or they absolutely do what they say at all times is 10. Not to degrade them or say anything, just to understand that that's just who they are.
That's right.
Well,
or maybe they're a 10. Maybe they're I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Janelle. Maybe they're 10 for...
Yeah, in one way, and a 1 in another, and they'll say, yeah, I have, you know, inconsistencies or incompatibilities, but I know in 3 ways I can be a 10, and every, and then the all other ways I can't be a 10. So,
you have to decide where you want to put that person in your life.
That's right.
Well, here's the thing. This is Robert. This is what I want to say on that. I was hearing everybody speaking. Look, life happens. Now, we cannot guarantee somebody a yes all the time because life happens. Things, if I say I'm going to, my word, just like somebody said, on a scale 1 to 10. But look, you're not going to be able to say yes to everything. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I might give you my, something has come up that I may not be able to complete what I said. Now, maybe at a later date I can come back, but if you're going to cross me out because I said, yeah, I could do it, but something came up. Okay.
Wait, Robert, right there.
Go ahead.
What I was saying is
Ted's response was to say it early,
contact and let the person know early. I'm unable to do it. I just let you know. This is what happened. I'm unable to do it. I'll recommit and I'll do it at a later date, but I can't do it right now. Like Anita said, there's a death in a family. I cannot recommit right now. I had a death in a family. I'll take care of it. We're going to have to park it for now and come back to it. But you let the person know immediately. Now you respect the person with integrity.
Not to do that. It's about respecting. You just respect the person to do that, to let them know that you'll do it later. But no word is just disrespectful.
Right.
To someone else.
Right.
So you say something.
Now, you know, when we said the death in the family, you know, sometimes, you know, it's sudden and you might not get right back to them. Because, you know, sometimes we say death in the family, but that's major. That's something, you know, that's an amazing emotional thing. And right now, I'm not thinking about you. I just had a death in the family. Like if my mother passed, you know, when my mother passed, that was something that was major to me. Now, I may have promised you something on that day. Now, if you don't hear from me, now you call me, let's say the next day goes by. Well, look, my mother just passed. You know what I'm saying? And that's, I'm letting you know that very next day. But some people get in their feelings. Some people expect you to always say yes to them. And that's the bad thing. You can't look for everybody to say yes to everything that you ask them.
Well, it's not about saying yes. It's about keeping your word.
It's just the word.
It's not about saying yes to everything. This is about keeping your word for what you do say. And when you say you're not going to do it, you just don't do it. If you're at work and someone says, I need the project by Monday at 10, if you say yes, and you know you can't do that, tell them you can't do it. Tell them when you can promise. That's when you start negotiating. I'm not saying you say yes to everything. You say yes to what you will. This is about commitment. Commitment has nothing to do with saying yes to everything. Commitment is about committing to what you say you will do.
Yeah,
honoring your word.
Exactly. When you honor your word, I'm going to go back here with having a death in the family. I had one, and I had promised something. It takes a second. I'm not the only one that's responsible for the debt in the family. But if you made a commitment or a word to someone,
just say, excuse me, guys,
let me make this phone call, this one phone call, to let this person know the emergency that I have in the family, that's honoring the person and yourself. You clear that because you don't know what that other person is thinking on the other side, and all that negativity is falling back on you too. So you just excuse yourself, make a call and say, I don't have much time. I have a debt in the family, and, you know, I'll catch up with you later.
That's brilliant. You're just respecting yourself
and respecting the other person. It's also about respect.
Well, see, and,
also the more integrity.
Using, wait 1 second. The what the person will end up doing is saying, well, you should just trust me. No, that's why I'm saying just kill trust.
There you go.
Keep your word. Someone dies,
exactly.
You make the call, and you say that can't make it. See, this is about keeping your word and honoring your integrity.
Right.
Yeah, this is about your integrity.
Exactly.
It has nothing to do with circumstances and other
person.
People.
Yes.
Either
true.
You are going to have integrity or you're not. And people will know you. Everyone knows you for your word anyway. I mean, whether you like it or not, people know you for
right.
your word.
Right.
Janelle, what were you going to say?
Right, and people know, like, the more integrity, the more...
Janelle, let me say this real quick. We got about 3 minutes left of the show, so we're going to have to kind of wrap it up. But go right ahead.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, I was going to say, the more integrity you have, the more integrity you have, the more benefit of the doubt someone will probably give you if something comes up that is an emergency and they haven't heard from you. They'll say, wow, she has a lot of integrity.
Right.
There must something crazy probably happened. Let me check on her or him because I'm concerned. Maybe they have a flat tire and they're stranded. Let me check on them.
That's true.
And that's your social currency you were talking about, Janelle. You have such a high, you've made so many deposits of social integrity that people won't even question whether you're just disrespecting them or something. They know something drastic happened. You know, they must be in a hospital
or
something.
Right. They worry. Exactly. Worry about it. Exactly.
So they're not what you were saying, that people end up with negative thoughts. They won't have, they'll be more concerned about your well-being because they know
that's
your integrity
once,
is high.
That's once you build it up. But you have to build up that with the person.
Exactly. And it's consistent. It's what Robert was saying. It's consistently keeping your word.
Mm-hmm.
And Janelle was saying 5 minutes at a time, 1 hour, 1 week. You keep your word. Things happen. Anita brought up, a death in the family.
Follow through.
Right, exactly. But keep your word. No matter, don't let events and circumstances run your life.
Right.
So this has been a very interesting and lively conversation. So
it was good.
Right,
it really was.
But here's what I want to ask. What can each person just run through? What did you get out of this call today? Like, I understand it's sort of counterintuitive and it goes against conventional wisdom, but can each person
mm-hmm.
take a shot? We can start with you, Robert. What did you get out of this call today?
Always look at another perspective. Always be willing to look at something different. You know, we've been doing things the old way. We've been thinking the old way. Learn to be open-minded and see another perspective. Look at another way of looking at things. That's what growth is. Because a lot of us, a lot of times, we want to do things the old way. And a lot of times, that's why they're not working. We won't adjust or we won't try new things.
Okay. Who's next?
Deb, this is Sarah. I'm going to say something that really is the concept of killing trust and mistrust, take it in the backyard and killing it. And it's something I'm going to have to contemplate because it's kind of like I've never quite heard that before, and I'm not knocking it. I need to really, really concentrate it and look at it, you know,
right.
And see exactly, because to not honor that, you know, I could be learning something, you know what I'm saying? So I learned something by hearing that, so I'm going to have to put it on the front burner and take a look at it, contemplate it, digest it, meditate on it, and see what I come up with.
Okay, good. Janelle?
Okay.
Is that if you want people to care about you and to check on you, the more integrity you have, the more people will believe in you and support you and just check on you.
Good. So you get care. People care. Good. Okay.
Yeah, people care.
All right, cool. All
Anita,
right. Well,
Anita, did you want to say, Anita, are you still there?
Was she from area code 718?
She was. She dropped off.
She's actually off the call. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Cool.
Hey, so, thank you, everyone, for making this a lively and engaging conversation. I knew it wasn't going to be easy, but and Sarika, is that how you say it?
Yeah, you said
Sarika.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Like your last words, that you really want to put it on the front burner, not back burner.
Oh no, I don't put things on the back burner.
Yeah.
No, I want to put it on the front burner because you know, like I'm sorry, I don't remember your name, but it's true. We do learn, and you know, every day. And to hear that, maybe it's another way. Maybe it's another way of looking at things. And I really,
right.
I'm glad I came on because I heard something that I've never really even heard before. So
right.
To me, it's like, oh, great. Let me check this out and see. But I always check things out first before I,
good.
You know.
Thank
so.
You. Yep. I'm glad. Right. Thank you for calling and your contribution. Thank you all, to all the callers, all the listeners. Great. Thank you for making this show better every week and participating and being part of the show. And those of you who've been a little shy,
and
don't
keep
hesitate
it up.
To pick up. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that.
Right. And to my 614 caller that called that got on there earlier and everything. Next time you call him, you better say something. You're making my city look bad. So don't do that.
I mean, don't
you don't play
that. You can't threaten people,
yeah,
man.
I'm
now
not.
They're going to be.
You can go get on the phone. Just going to get on the phone and just park. I'm like, man, listen. So,
breathe.
No, I'm not getting anybody listening. So, no, I'm just kidding. Robert on the side, Robert from Memphis. If you, and this is kind of a segue, do you mind if I actually took your number down? Do you mind if I reach out to you offline?
Yeah, brother, go ahead.
Okay, then this is Blair, by the way. I'll reach out to you. It may be tonight or it may be sometime in the week, but I'm going to reach out to you for something kind of unrelated. So,
okay,
just,
brother.
You know, I'm area code 614, so just, you know, when you see it pop up. But,
okay.
To everyone else on the show, thank you very, very much. And, you know, as I said, I was just going to kind of kick back on this show because, you know, I'm usually the one that's kind of teaching and showing people different things and giving my perspective. And sometimes it's nice to just kind of, you know, be taught and just kind of, you know, kind of go back to a scholastic level and see,
right,
you know, have someone sort of educate you. So I'm never above the notion
that's,
that I can't learn some things. So, yeah.
That's what I got from Ted today, which is really great.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Ted, I take my hat off to you because I'm always thinking I know everything. So, I, you know, to be able to have someone say, you know, slow down, let me show you something, young fella. So I'm cool.
Yeah, we don't
know.
We don't know it all. Thank you, guys.
Right,
keep
right.
it up. Okay.
Good night,
right.
y'all. Thank you, everyone.
All right.
Night.
Good evening, everyone. Take care.
Yeah.
And everyone have a great week.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye.